Welcome to another episode of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement of Arts and Cultures. I'm your host, Tamika Coding. Joining me today is my very first guest for the podcast. Her name is Kim Ramsey. Now, I'm not going to tell you who Kim Ramsey is. I'll tell you exactly what she told me. Google her. That's Kim Ramsey. And Kim describes herself to me today as a rare disorder activist. Kim, thank you so much for joining me. And why don't you tell the people out there what a rare disorder activist is?
Thank you for having me, Tamika. A rare disorder activist is a person that probably has a rare disorder, definitely has a rare disorder, and actually wants to make that rare disorder more noticeable and make people more aware of this particular disorder, and in an educational manner as opposed to a sensationalist manner. So the disorder that I'm talking about is persistent genital arousal disorder, which has received a huge amount of publicity over a decade, from the 2020 show to different people coming out and discussing how this disorder affects them. So it's all very well discussing it in the media. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the disorder doesn't actually get much traction or movement forward because there is this stigma attached to it, purely for the fact that the disorder has a huge amount of pain, but also it has sexual symptoms.
Right.
So people are characterized in a negative manner and they actually can't get the care and treatment that they receive. And this culminated in a number of suicides in 2012, where a lady called Gretchen Milanen was unable to receive the care. She wasn't even able to get a job or get disability. Mm-hmm. And after her interview, she actually killed herself. Wow. So it became a problem to me that a person can go to a doctor's office and the doctor can give them a blank stare, you know.
Right.
There's been one television program, I think, at Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. And they did an episode where a woman had a persistent genital arousal disorder. And
now, I'm a huge Grey's Anatomy fan. I don't remember that one.
Was
that
in the episode,
beginning or in the beginning seasons or mid?
Like, I would say it was a beginning season.
Okay.
But the thing with fiction is that you can create a circumstance where this person is getting treatment. The reality is that there are a huge amount of people who are not getting the treatment that they need and they are suffering, you know, and the doctors are actually unaware of how to treat us. Mm. Even though there are multiple causes to people who have this disorder, from people coming off of SSRI tablets, you know, antidepressants, to falls, to trauma to the genital area, pelvic congestion, to something called a Tarlov cyst, which is a cyst on the spinal cord.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, this having issues with your central nervous system or your brain triggering particular signals to a nerve in your genitalia can be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing a lot of distress. You know, the quality of life that anybody should have, we should be afforded the same as anybody else. So mm-hmm. to be able to sit down and educate somebody and say, yes, this exists, no, it's not a joke, no, it's not a blessing, mm-hmm. this is a frustration to me, it's an irritation, or this can be life-threatening, depending on whether or not the disorder itself is stable, as in the person does have symptoms but they're not acute,
right.
As in, like, they can't move anywhere, their pelvis is always triggering certain sexual sensations, or paresthesias,
mm-hmm.
where you feel sensations in your genitalia,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, having spontaneous orgasms. And the media likes to see that spontaneous orgasm. That's something that they like to focus on.
Yeah, and to poke fun at.
And, you know, people, I get it, where people say, oh, okay, this must be amazing, this must be wonderful. Yeah, when you think that way, that might be one thing, but when you're living it, when you want to go and do your shopping, when you've got to be in the DMV and get your license changed, when you want to take care of your children, and how do you, you can't drive your child to the on a school run. This becomes a problem when you can't be intimate with your partner, your husband, because the satiation point seems to be distorted, so there is no satiation point, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes for difficult or dysfunctional relationships, and that has a huge impact on the person's quality of life. So to advocate for, I'd advocate for anybody, and I just am asking, actually, sometimes I do beg, but I really just want a person to be able to go into their doctor's office and have understanding. And what we all have to recognize is that the medical field actually doesn't have very good understanding about sexual problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yet sexual problems can underpin a large quantity of our social problems and our emotional problems. So in medical school, they don't get much training on sex, which is a deficit in your training if you're handling a whole human being.
Right.
And then America as a whole is very reluctant to discuss this. Yet there's just multiple movies, films that you could openly download, freely download,
right,
that show another aspect of human sexuality.
Yeah.
So it just becomes a problem when women and men who have PGAD are characterized in a certain manner and they are not afforded the care that they deserve.
That's
so
right.
That's where I'm coming from.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you explained that, and I hope everybody out there paid attention. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me at astutestories@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at TC's Views. We're not going to discuss the whole PGAD thing today, right? We're going to tackle that because I'm pretty sure once people Google your name, they have all these questions. So guys, if you have any questions, you know where to find me on Twitter. You know how to contact me on the blog. You know my Instagram, so send those questions in. Kim, what's interesting, when I first met you, we actually were talking about sex, and at that time it was Ray Rice and Janae and the whole domestic violence, and you know what could possibly be have kept a woman in such a situation, right? But today, I wanted to actually start off with the whole Bill Cosby situation that's going on with the rape allegations. I believe that they're allegations, because my thing is like, well, why did you wait so long to come out? And I think that you also probably have the same mindset of, why didn't you say something a couple, you know, years ago? Why come out now? So let's tap into a couple of trending stories that's going on out there right now, starting off with Bill Cosby and the whole sex aspects, given that you're pretty much an expert, right?
I'm trying to become an expert. When I get my papers straight, you know, I'm speaking as an immigrant, but my papers are pretty legal right now. But for my sexology stuff, when I get my papers straight, then I will gladly hold the honor of being a sexpert. But you know, there's multiple facets to sexual assault, and one of the underlying things is shame, being silenced. Having your silence purchased. It's a very hard thought process to believe that somebody who has been as upstanding in the community, black community, like Bill Cosby, could have actually used a drug-facilitated situation to perform a sexual assault on a person. And, you know, I guess his reputation is so sterling, it's so solid, that it's very hard for us to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen these women come out and I say to myself, you know, why now? Why would you not have said before? But then I look back and I think to myself, well, maybe you know, a person was a struggling actress, maybe that they didn't want to challenge somebody who was that well
so
established
powerful,
and powerful. And that makes more sense to me. I think sexual assault is just such a insidious and huge power.
Right. But I mean, even though that, you know, these women who are coming out now, or, you know, even though that they might have been a struggling actress, do you think that it makes it right for them to now come out? It's like, what's the point, you know?
The point I can't even give you a real point, but I think it's more about causing the distress that he caused them if he did do this, causing him the same amount of distress that he would have caused them if he had done it. And I feel like not everybody can disclose the fact that they were raped or they became intoxicated to the point, you know, two glasses of wine, and they placed themselves in a situation that may have made them vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But I can't apportion blame to anybody because I wasn't at any of the situations.
Right. So, nobody. It's the you know, I just people.
I think when one person says it, you know, there's always this doubt. And any woman who does disclose to the media or to the police that she has been sexually assaulted places herself at risk of having her personal life examined, having her intimate life examined. So when you know this is part of the risk of disclosure, why would you do it?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it more, even more kind of like, okay. And also after this period of time where you've lived your life, you have a husband or you have children and you're still wanting to disclose, it kind of gives me just a kernel of veracity.
Yeah.
It's a very challenging situation. I find it, you know, I mean, maybe because he's slightly older now, mm-hmm. he's a lot less maybe cocky or powerful. It could be. I mean, as I said, his reputation is sterling. However, this has dented it when you see that the different TV channels have dropped his shows and the reruns.
Yeah. And I don't think that's fair, though, because I mean, I grew up on The Cosby Show. My kids obviously weren't born back then, but they watch The Cosby Show and they learn lessons. It's still a learning tool. And I think it's just a little bit too much, given that this hasn't been presented in the court of law. He's not speaking, right? I'm pretty sure that's it by the advisement of his lawyers, but he's not saying a single solitary word. He's not admitting to it. He's not denying. He's not saying anything.
Confirmation or denial, either way, if, you know, four or five women have come forward, you know, what do four or five women have to gain from alleging that this person sexually assaulted them?
Right.
You know, and you're saying that it can't be tried in a court of law because it's too old, it's mm-hmm. past the statute limitations. So it's a reputation, you know, and causing a shame to the gentleman.
Okay. All right.
That, you know, and I guess in some sense it's a powerful thing because you're actually reclaiming that part of your body. When right. somebody takes that from you and you have issues and emotions that are associated with that mm-hmm. act, that traumatic act, then maybe this is a chance for these people to actually get some sense of closure.
Right.
You know.
Well, we'll see how it rolls out, yeah. how everything pans out. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a discussion that's going to go on
if the man survives it.
How old is he, 76?
Yeah, he looks frail. And the other interesting thing is his wife.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from her.
Yeah, I mean, they've already been through some terrible times. I remember their son. I was in England when mm-hmm. their son got murdered. So, you know, it's traumatic enough. But to be older, and I think older people... shame is a very powerful emotion to evoke in anybody,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that I think older people really, really find extremely personal and damaging to their health. So yeah. I'm concerned about his health in that regard,
right.
but I can't hand on heart say something didn't happen because it's just too many people that are coming out. And yes,
it reminds me of Tiger Woods incident when one woman came out, said, oh yeah, I'm having an affair, and then another and then another.
Yeah,
and
it's like okay, it's a domino effect.
Must be true, right? Yeah,
domino effect. And like, rape is a very emotional and personal thing, and not everybody has the courage to step forward at the time it's occurring, especially if they don't have the monetary or fiscal background, if they don't have a lawyer in their path. And traditionally, the legal system does not treat a rape victim well at all.
Yeah,
just like they don't treat domestic violence victims well.
Right.
So,
and you know, I'm glad that you picked up on the domestic violence segue. So,
you might like
yes,
that.
I like that. Thank you. Very good. You might become a regular on the show. All right. So, domestic violence, and like I said, when we you and I first met each other, it was the Ray Rice and Janae, you know, his fiance at the time, Janae. Now they're married, which I'm just like, what? Why would you marry him? But the whole domestic violence issue in America, sticking to Black culture, what is that about? What do you think that's about? Is that a, obviously it's some form of power, right?
You know, it's power. We always look for power. There's a circle of domination. Like, the person wants power, they want control. And they actually, that's the aggressor I'm talking about. They actually engage in a relationship with somebody that they can control. It's almost like an extension of themselves, mm-hmm. that they're controlling, that you must do this, you've got to pick up the phone when I call you. And there are signs that I think women may misinterpret when they first start dating somebody who is volatile. Mm-hmm. And if you engage in a volatile relationship, as in you are the first person to put your hands on and this person won't strike me back, well, it's not like the movies. Mm-hmm. I think when you slap somebody, that's one thing, but when you close your fist and punch somebody in their face, like, mm-hmm.
And you knock them out cold,
Floyd,
yes,
Mayweather,
yeah.
Then it becomes an issue to me. I'm not sure how their relationship started. My understanding, they were together through their college years, and yeah, we all have arguments, but adults negotiate, and they actually have they agree to disagree, or they actually work through their disagreement. But to actually take your hand and punch somebody in their face, knock the lady out cold, this is the mother of your child. Mm-hmm. That was disturbing.
Right.
But even more disturbing was how he handled her body.
Right.
When he was dragging her through the elevator, when I thought to myself, well, he has absolutely no regard for her as a human being. He treated her like she was rubbish. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, garbage. So it was like, for me, it kind of compounded my thought process that the standards that we hold for ourselves as Blacks is really very low.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what do you think the cause of that is? Do you think it's, maybe the movies, the shows, or maybe just we don't know, Blacks don't know how to stand up for themselves if they're in that type of situation?
A volatile relationship, there seems to be an imbalance somewhere. As in, this person makes more money than me, or this person's prettier than me, or there's an imbalance in the relationship. Relationships need balance. You know, people, I met this woman from the South, her name's Clarice, she's a nurse, and she says, you gotta be equally yoked.
Oh yeah, the Southerners
that phrase. And I feel that it's really important. And also, I feel like the integrity, I don't want to get, I'm going to say it. I think that the standards that we look at African Americans, looking at the diaspora, African Americans are who the rest of the world looks at.
Right.
The rest of the diaspora looks at. And the standards of African American male and female is very low. Mm-hmm. The perpetual comparison to the white male and white female, the self-hatred of how we look. We're the only race that copies other races.
Right, like with the long, the weaves.
Weave and the skin bleaching, yeah. Which is just like this just very bizarre phenomenon, mm-hmm. that, we've got multiple shades of dark-coloured skin, and you would like to bleach yours out to this, like, high yellow, yeah. And that assumption that being lighter will make your life more improved, and just the whole the lack of feeling whole as a black male or black female. And so we look for other things in our lives to make us feel important, to make us feel loved, to make us belong. So when you have, when you belong, as in like, i.e. you're a gang member, mm-hmm. and you belong in a section of people, then you do certain things to make yourself feel good.
Right. So in this case, if you're a member of the NFL as a yeah. football player, well, and you're in your girlfriend, your fiance is like, I don't want to leave you, even though you're pounding my face in because the money. I think women in that situation, that's in the sports, in the major league sports, I feel that, and this is just totally my opinion, I feel that they stay because of the money. And some of those women who we don't know who are getting beat up, you know, mm-hmm. being emotionally abused or physically abused, their boyfriends, husbands, fiancés are saying, if you say anything, watch all of this disappear, because it will disappear. And so they sit there, and then it's out of fear. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to lose everything. But it takes a really strong woman to actually get up and walk away from all of that.
Also it's the way in which the NFL handled the Ray Rice video. I mean, like, you know, I think I'm in the wrong profession. I need to be an elevator. an elevator attendant. I mean, you right. can capture these famous stars with, you know, throwing off their angry outburst tantrums. You know, you look at Solange and her angry outburst, mm-hmm. and you say to yourself, like, what is really going on for you where you feel the necessity to put your hands on another human yeah. being? Yeah. And what gives you the right? The sense of entitlement is quite fascinating, and that's not how we handle arguments. Because mm-hmm. if that was the case, I would have beaten a number of New Jersey motorists. You know, I mean, come on. Have you ever ridden down Bluefield Avenue?
Yes.
Like, so yes. I just feel that the whole... And on top of that, I think that this idea of having an aggressive argument is perpetuated by the real life.
Oh, the reality shows.
Stevie J and Jocelyn whoops ass.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, Jocelyn, did she have a high school education?
This is Love and Hip Hop,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Does she have a high school education? Do people actually behave like that? And then the whole concept of, you know, it's like, we used to sit there and watch Jerry Springer.
Yeah, Jerry Springer, Ricky Lake.
Or Ricky
yes.
Lake or Maury, you yeah. know. And he would be like, you know, he'd pull the paper out and you'd be like, for God's sake, please let this person be. And it's just this whole kind of thing where now it's actually branched out to people live this kind of lifestyle.
Yes.
People are very fascinated by what, and I'll put it in quotation marks, this ghetto lifestyle. Domestic violence is not just about living in a ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
Domestic violence does happen in all races.
Right.
You know, Asian men beat their women, and white men beat their women, and black men beat their
right.
women.
And the rich and the
and
poor.
And the rich
in the
and the poor.
Class,
it is
right.
not, there isn't, there isn't, there isn't this thing that it's only black men that do this, but.
But the media makes it seem so.
Would it be just too much to show a black relationship, a male and a female, or a male and a male, or a female and a female, or a male and a transgender? I don't mind, but can we just see them happy?
Yeah.
Can it be wholesome and healthy?
Can we include the Obamas? You know,
Michelle
and Barack.
I think so.
The girls.
And the girls.
I think that
looks to be a happy, healthy relationship. But everything that the black male does is attacked. You know, you've had a batch of pastor stories.
Oh. Goodness.
Oh my God, the pastor slept with this person and he was HIV positive, or this pastor slept with these guys and he used church money.
Mm-hmm.
When do we hear about the good people?
Right.
And
that's the problem. Sorry to cut you off, but, uh-huh. and that's the problem. And I feel that that's a problem of the media, right? It's all about these ratings, 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 ratings. So stop watching the local television news. Stop watching these big network news and tune into the little guys, because the little guys are the ones who are telling these great human interest, in-depth, great reporting. Like, I prefer to watch Al Jazeera America.
Mm.
Whenever you have an opportunity, go online and just go to their website, Al Jazeera America, and find one of those video packages, any topic. And I guarantee you're going to be like, oh, that's pretty interesting.
I have very little hobbies, but one of my favorite things to do is to sift through the news and look for miracles.
Nice.
It's quite fascinating when, you know, and we're living in an era of the, you know, gone are the days of Polaroid, but we're living in, I remember Polaroid. I love that.
I remember Polaroid too. So fascinating. Yeah, it's like, wait, the picture's coming out.
Yay! Yes. We'll be all excited. Yes. But you've got a camera phone and, you know, you can see people. And this is, I think it's quite fascinating, guess just looking at miracles, but black people are actually more likely to help you in the case of an accident. Mm. Which I thought was really fascinating, that despite the fact that we live under the threat of our lives being snatched away from us, we would help you.
Right.
I would help you. I would go out of my way. And we're more like, there's research that's been shown that there are four, I think it's three or four times more likely to help you or assist you. Hmm. But yet the news focuses on crimes that black men commit. And yet there are white men committing crimes.
The same crimes.
And also the fact that black men and black women have unhealthy relationships. So I look at that and I say to myself, okay, we are having unhealthy relationships, but there are people that have been in long-term relationships and these things have worked for them. They've got children. Some of us have children that are by different siblings.
Right.
Different parents.
Right.
So, you know, your father,
although in the South they may be siblings that, like, in the, you know, because the cousins like to
keep it all in the family.
I know, I'm aware of that, but when you're from the Caribbean,
yeah,
you have somebody like take for instance Luciano, and I take him because he is of the Rastafarian faith and I think he is a phenomenal artist, and he has 10 baby mothers.
Wow.
But the difference is he takes care of all of his baby mothers.
Okay.
You know, in comparison to another artist who I shall not name, but he has 42 children and is unable to take care of his
and sounds like Ayala needs to go and fix their life.
Yeah. I mean, Inyanla uses shame as a tool, and I don't always advocate using shame. I think she's a very powerful woman who can put people on the forefront. But yeah, that was another story that came forward, the man with 34 children. Yes. And I said to myself, you know, I'm looking at all these different stories about black men, and I was trying to look for a positive story, like I said.
Couldn't,
you know,
one.
I remember a story a few years ago where a baby was, for some reason, had managed to walk out on an air conditioner in New York City. And this black guy was stood there when that child dropped, and when you see the video footage, you're like, your heart's in your mouth.
Oh, Lord.
But he caught that little baby. The baby was autistic.
Okay.
So had, you know, no fear or awareness of their surroundings and how dangerous it was. And that guy did a tremendous job. Mm-hmm. It's a very small part of the newspaper. We have to recognize our achievements.
Right.
You know, instead of focusing on the negative, the media will focus on the negative, the violent, and the anything that says, yes, these people are, you know, I could use the N-word, right, but I ain't going to use it, right, because right. I know I don't want to upset anybody.
Yeah, we're not
going
to use that. We're not going
to
use
but
it.
But these people are this, and guess what? Look at this. This is evidence to produce,
right,
you know, that shows otherwise. But what about the people that are working every right. day? What about the police officer that goes to work that actually has your back?
Who
is compassionate? And who is also black?
Right.
What about him who has to deal with issues from his white counterparts, who has to fit in with the blue club? What about the woman that works as a nurse who prevents a doctor from killing you?
Right.
What about the doctors that have to wear straight hair to get their job and to get through their residency, but they really want to wear an afro?
Right.
They can't. So, you know, we don't hear about the doctors and nurses and the fire officers and the police officers that do good jobs. And who have to kind of face their community afterwards. They're right. the ones that kind of, like, you know, we have this anger that's, it's just been prevalent. And I've lived in two countries. The anger is also in England too. And we've had in England at last count, and this does include white people, but we've had over 100 deaths in custody, police custody.
Really?
over a 10-year
well, that's 10 years time span. Really small. That's compared to America, that's like tiny, tiny, like a pencil eraser. So, compared to America.
But the whole point is that you just can't, like, you know, make this assumption, you know, that because a person's skin is black, they are less than you. They're like their value of their life. You know, you look at Amadou Diallo.
Yes, I remember.
I do hope I've pronounced the man's name.
I can't pronounce it, but we'll figure
appropriately. God rest his soul. A man who stood on his doorstep, pulled out his wallet, and got shot more than 40 times. You know, basic stuff where a situation is misread.
Right.
Where you get stopped and searched, where you're driving a vehicle. You know, I remember my house was... I thought that my house was being burgled, and there was somebody in the property at the same time as me.
Right.
And I remember when I called the police, and the police officer said, well, do you own this property? Well, who the hell else do you think
exactly.
owns it?
Exactly.
I'm else. He said, well, and I said, you know, it's that kind of misconception that this is a nice area. Why would you be
here?
But you're not with me when I work.
Yeah.
You're not with me when I go to work every day.
Right.
Days off, no days off. When I see the black and black violence, you see so-and-so got shot in his face, in his stomach, in his head, or, you know, and I give kudos to my peers and my co-workers who were at UMDNJ and at Jersey City Medical Center, the people at Cooper University, the trauma centers of New Jersey. We are killing ourselves at the most...
alarming rates.
Yes, yeah. And that has to be stemmed from the mindset that we think we are inferior, that we, you know, street cred counts for what? What does it count for?
Nothing.
Can you buy it?
Yeah.
Does it, is it something I can win on the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
What does street cred matter when you shot a two-year-old in their face? Yeah. It means nothing
at all. Nothing.
And I don't think that the younger generation understand that the way in which they're coming up is actually conducive to longevity of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even the way we engage in intimacy, in how we can talk. So you go back to the conversation right at the beginning, which was Ray Rice and his beautiful now wife.
Yeah.
And yes, she wanted to stay in there probably for the money, possibly because she loves him and that she has a child with him, but at what cost? I mean, how many blows to the head do you need before you get a traumatic brain injury,
mm-hmm.
or you end up with neurological issues that cause you deep problems? And
right.
to marry somebody after they did that to you is a fascinating and even quite, I guess, it's strange.
It is.
It's strange to me because we look at ourselves as black women and we don't value
mm-hmm.
who we are. You know, we're the only race that will just say, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. And yes, she values her marriage. She values her relationship. And yes, maybe there's money involved. But the money went down after...
because he's not working.
Yeah, he
anymore.
Lost his endorsements. Because who can actually say that that's an acceptable thing to do?
It's not.
They don't care if you're a world athlete.
They sure don't. Kim, we're going to just cut that conversation right there. And we are going to... come back with something else even better. So, but this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain, you know, the Bill Cosby and the Ray Rice and the PGAD, which I hope you guys have already Googled, Kim, and send in those questions on you know, respectable questions that you have for Kim. So Kim,
send the indecent ones as well, because we'll handle it. We're grown on this show.
It's handled. You heard that? All right, guys. So thank you so much for tuning in, and stay tuned for another segment of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement to Arts of Cultures.